Whoa, what is that?
I don't know, what is that?
Is that a...
What?
Could that be a...
It's a Bible bomb!
Hey, this is Landon.
This is Philip.
And we are your Bible Bomberman.
Let's drop some bombs! I wrote down an introduction in my notes.
You did?
And I see that you also wrote an introduction, so we could talk over each other for the first 2 minutes.
Okay. Today,
we're going to do a question about the church for the last century. A really controversial thing.
It's kind of clickbaity. Okay, you start.
Okay, well, this episode is kind of clickbaity. We did it on purpose, not to make people mad, but because it's kind of funny, honestly, admit it.
I mean, you see the title and it's like, what?
Anyways, it's kind of funny. And so we had to make an episode about this when we were talking about it last time. And number two, and more importantly, this topic is pretty relevant this year being an election year. So we're going to be talking a lot about a lot of issues this entire year. And as Christians, where do we stand on some of these things? And we're going to pick a lot on the Democratic Party. But we also want to have a disclaimer here. This is not a political podcast purely. We're trying to look at this through a biblical lens, and we're not going to be like promoting Republicans or anything, because I don't think either of us here are huge Republican Party fans. So.
Not really.
So, yeah.
I'm not a Republican.
Yeah, I don't think either of us identify as Republican.
I guess you could identify without being registered in today's post-truth world. But I was going to say, well, I should have gone first. Yeah. I was going to be like, are Democrats going to be allowed in heaven? I was going to say that. No, that sounds like a stupid question.
You just want to make people mad.
Now, some people actually do have that question. Children mostly of far-right parents. But there is a reason why I wanted to do this episode. Oftentimes, I hear people say in the church that it doesn't matter if you are a Republican or a Democrat. The great thing about God's church is that he unites those who are Republicans and Democrats. Okay, let's look at something. Let's read Galatians 3:26-28.
For you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus.
So those who are united in Christ are united by faith. The word faith has a definite article in front of it. It should read the faith. People are united by the faith in Christ Jesus, and they're united at baptism. So verse 28 mentions things pertaining to flesh or things, external things. It does not mention belief system. So where it says Jews and Greeks, it's talking about what you are physically. If you're a physical Jew or a physical Greek, if you are circumcised, if you're a descendant of Abraham physically, it doesn't matter if you are that or if you are a Greek. God can unite both people. He's not talking about those who keep the law of Moses and those pagan Greeks are being united in Christ, okay? So the scripture, it's talking about people coming together to believe the same thing. God is not uniting a bunch of people with a bunch of different beliefs.
Yep.
He's uniting people to have the same belief, that they believe what the scriptures teach. That's where God is getting at in that scripture. So Republicans and Democrats believe in different things.
Yep.
So that needs to be taken into consideration when we're making this bold claim that God can unite both Republicans and Democrats. Second of all, who said that, like we said earlier, who said that Republicans and Democrats are the only options?
Yeah, that's funny. The libertarians this triggers them all the time when you only mention Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, they're
like, what about libertarians?
They're trying to win these elections, but it's not going to work. I like to identify myself as a constitutionalist.
Same.
Personally.
But we don't get as much attention as libertarians.
No.
But libertarians still don't have any shot. As long as things continue the way they are, it's a two-party system, honestly.
Yeah, so this is not a pro-Republican podcast.
No.
And I know most people in the church are Republicans. So the Republican Party is corrupt beyond hope. I mean, Republican politicians are just as much liars, promise breakers, power hungry, and moving our country towards communism as the Democrat ones, okay? So, again, this is not a pro-Republican podcast. And I don't want to talk too much about politicians, as I do want to talk about average people. We're not talking about famous people. We're talking about people in your church, people in our church that are Democrats. Can someone believe what Democrats believe and be a Christian? That's where we're going to
That's where we're taking this.
Yeah, and what we have to do with that is get our answers from the Bible, right? So we could just spend our time talking about our political opinions here, but we don't have time for that. So
could be like, you think Joe Biden is going to make it tough? I mean, number one, we're not the judges of people's eternity. That's God's job. There's not really much use in doing that anyways. But how would that apply to you and me? Like, that, it doesn't help us any to proclaim judgment on famous people.
We should be praying for them, you know?
Yeah. And that is in the Bible, to pray for your leaders. So.
Yeah. Now, we don't have time to talk about everything that's on the Democratic platform, so we're just going to go through some basics. One of the big things, Democrats believe in big government. I mean, that's no surprise. Let's take some time to humble some Republicans real quick. Everybody in the Republican Party likes to talk about how Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican president. Modern Republicans like to brag about how it was the Republicans who freed the slaves and the Democrats who owned slaves, right? So the Democrats are slave owners, Republicans are the ones who freed them. Okay, read some real history. Lincoln, by today's standard, was a rhino, Republican in name only. He was a tyrant. Him and George Washington would have been enemies. Okay, they would not have gone along. Lincoln expanded the U.S. government like never before. He gave us income tax. Thanks, Lincoln. The first national banking system, the Department of Agriculture, Bureau of Pensions, and federal funded higher education. Stuff that the Republican Party today would say, you know, that's not good. You know, we need smaller government. So the Republican Party of Lincoln's time was not the same as today. The Republican Party changed its belief over the years, but started out as a party of big government, something that the founding fathers were afraid of. They did not want that. They wanted to limit the government as much as possible. What does God think about it? Read 1 Peter 2:13 through 14.
Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as to one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right.
God's plan for government was exactly that. To punish and praise, or punish and reward. To spank or give a ribbon. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. And when God set up the nation of Israel, he set it up just like that. He set it up as a republic. You know, we call America a republic, and republic in which we stand. That's exactly the kind of government God made
for the Israelites.
In Israel, it was the judges spread out throughout the tribes, and their function was to punish evil and to reward good. Now, this was to be a self, and the reason for that is because it was supposed to be a self-governed nation. God gave them the law, and the people were expected to govern themselves. Okay, this is the perfect government system. This is God's design. The Old Testament law is the perfect way to set up government. It has the perfect laws. Just because we're not under that law anymore doesn't mean it's not a brilliant way of
you sound biased like you're government. A Christian or something.
Well, yeah, I am. Yeah, you do have to believe the Bible is true if you're gonna go along with what we're saying.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
Yeah, hopefully you go back and listen to our first couple episodes if you're like, well, how do you even know the Bible is true? He designed a self-governed society. However, it's also nearly impossible to keep, because this kind of government requires that people treat each other well, that justice and fairness is kept, and that people have compassion on those who are poor and help them, and that people work for their own food. How did Israel do with that?
They did well for a while, but yeah, not for the long term.
Well, they kept going back and forth. Like, they would forget about God. And no, they couldn't keep their republic. There came a point where government had to increase, and they needed a king to hold their hand. So
it's funny that they begged for a king and were told by Samuel, hey, you do not want this. You do not want this, but I'm going to give it to you just because you asked. Then you're going to regret this decision.
And I think they did.
And they did.
Scenes got worse when... Now, they had some good scenes, but most of their scenes were bad.
Yeah.
And most of their scenes caused them to sin.
The large majority. Yeah.
I mean, 100% of the Northern Kingdom scenes were bad. Judah had some okay ones. You know, there was a Hezekiah or two. So they lost a lot of their freedom. So they abused their freedom and they lost it. They reaped what they sowed. The founding fathers tried to do this kind of government with America to make it a self-governing society. Everyone is moral and takes care of each other. When some lady asked Ben Franklin what kind of government they had given, he said, a republic, if you can keep it. Meaning that's up to you, up to the people to make sure that they're taking the responsibility of treating each other good and, you know, being moral.
That's funny. As you mentioned Abraham Lincoln earlier, he was an advocate for a lot of the expansion of the federal government's power over the states and other smaller pieces of the government. And it's funny, if you look at the president nowadays, they do so much, like, they almost control all of foreign policy and stuff. And it's kind of a joke that senators basically don't do anything now. And entire Congress doesn't do much now because a president now holds so much power. And now, all that being said, with all the roasting of Abraham Lincoln we can do, he's still tied for my favorite president ever because getting rid of slavery was that important.
And see,
they do a lot.
That's the thing, is that slavery was one of the biggest moral issues America had. Big government, from what we see in the Bible, is punishment. The Israelites could not keep their government because they were not keeping the law of God. A big government came as a punishment, and eventually government got so big that it turned out to be Babylonian government. then it turned into Persian, then it turned into Greek, then it turned to Roman. I mean, it was just and that's what happened. So America's slavery, the way that they were treating their slaves, not every slave master treated their slaves bad, but there was kidnapping, torture, humiliation, rape, all that kind of stuff. It's almost like America's government expanding was almost like maybe punishment for that. I don't know. Yeah. Only God knows.
Yeah.
But
it's interesting thinking about, I mean, I like to think of the pro-life movement. It's like of our generation. It's like the slavery of our generation. Like, this is the big problem that we need to conquer. In our generation, who knows? Maybe we're going to have a president someday that's going to expand government to some crazy level, but get rid of abortion at the same time.
I don't want that.
I know we don't want that, but I'm just saying, who knows? That could happen. I mean, we don't know the future, but I mean, there's a world where that could happen.
There's only one way to save the republic, and that's the gospel spread and everybody start doing what they need to do. A modern Democrats like to talk about how it was the big government that saved the slaves. Well, maybe. Yeah. A lot of people say it was the big government that got us out of the Great Depression. Well, what caused the Great Depression? The 1920s were full of sin, right? Mm-hmm. People spending money that they didn't have, drinking, all kinds of... America was just completely sinful in the 1920s, and they paid for it in the 30s. So sometimes big government has to come in when people act like children, when people cannot govern themselves. The inevitable result is a bigger government.
Then they're
going
to be forced to do it.
And you lose a lot of freedom. The bigger government gets, the less freedom you have.
Yep.
So that was not God's design. Okay. Yep. Now, the good thing is that we as the church, the Bible says, live as free men. But don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through it, serve one another. So the church is its own kingdom. Like, we're kind of
the
like
kingdom of God.
the kingdom of God is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom, and we are a self-governing kingdom. Yep. We're the only one, like the only republic that's gonna last forever.
It is funny. So, it's like our elders.
Yeah.
It's like a republic because we have elders to rule over it.
But the church is the only group of people ever that are going to be able to govern themselves accordingly.
That's true. Yeah.
No matter.
It's not like we're going to have like slavery inside of the church.
It doesn't matter what country, what physical country you're in. If you're in a communist country, if you're in a, the church will be be its own kingdom. It'll live in other countries and other governments, but the church is what's going to last forever. So that's God's view on government, is that it's small and it punishes and rewards those. And when they don't, big government has to come in and treat them like children. Oh, yeah, not to mention, today's large government is trying to shut the mouth of those preaching the truth. So, yeah, I don't think God likes that very much. Democrats are often seen as the compassionate ones, right? They're the nice guys. They're the ones that love everybody. And they're Republicans, they're all haters and white supremacists.
They're all like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
All right. There might be some truth to that, but universal health care, one of the big platforms of the Democratic Party. I was a senior in high school when the government shut down over the Affordable Care Act was going on. There was some discussion in my government class, and one of my classmates said, talking about Obamacare, said, if you think about it, it's morally right. People just don't want to give up their money.
Well,
okay. I could see how some professed Christians might feel this way. So, you know, the Democrats who are Christians might be like, yeah, we should have compassion. I mean, the sheep and the goats, right? Didn't God say we should visit the hungry, take care of orphans and widows? A lot of people have bought in to Obamacare is a, you know, it's a charitable thing. It's being compassionate. That Obama would preach that. In fact, he quoted the Bible. It said, love your neighbor as yourself. This is what Obamacare is. For those of you who don't know what Obamacare is, that's where Obama forced everyone. I mean, the word mandate means force. Mandated every American citizen to purchase health care. And if you didn't, you had to pay a penalty.
Yeah, that sucked for our family.
For our family, too.
And we ended up not being able to afford the mandated health care. A mandated healthcare, so we ended up having to pay the penalty, which was more expensive than our original insurance, if I remember right.
Yeah, so
it did not have the right effect.
So did anybody have compassion on us?
Yeah.
Those who couldn't afford it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the idea is, people who couldn't afford their own health insurance are now have to pay for someone else's. The Democrats don't like to hear that, but it's true. That's what the Affordable Care Act was. It was distribution of wealth.
You know, here's my main problem with this is not, I mean, everything about the idea of it is correct, but not forcefully, because that takes away your ability to do it with your free will. The church, this is taking the church's job and putting it on the government, and that's not God's plan. This is the church's role in the world, is to take care of the orphans and widows and the poor, the sick, the weak. That's what we should be doing. Why are we trying to make the government force people to do it? That is not even close to the same thing.
Yeah.
And when the government does it, that takes away, I mean, this is sounds like I'm teaching like second grade economics or something, but no, when the government forces people to do that, that raises the taxes and takes away my ability to have any free money, because I got to spend all my money on food and rent, and I have nothing left to give. So that's the problem with it. That's the problem that I have with
it. So speaking of having something left to give, read what Ephesians 4:28 says.
He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need.
Okay, a couple of things in that scripture. He who steals must steal no longer. The Affordable Care Act involves stealing. There's no way around it. No one gets to rationalize it or say, well, no, it's, I mean, taxation is theft. Definitely. Just because Jesus said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, it doesn't mean he's not going to punish Caesar for stealing. Caesar is still stealing, but God wants us to pay our taxes, because if we don't, that'll hinder the progress of the gospel. Anyways, Obamacare forced everyone to buy health insurance or pay a penalty. And accepting health insurance that somebody else paid for, that's stealing. Yeah. You are stealing somebody else's hard-earned money because they didn't give it to you willfully. They did not hand you money and say, here, this will pay for your surgery or whatever. No, they took it by force and gave it to you.
It's the Robin Hood.
Yes, it's the Robin Hood. But that is sinful, okay? There's no way of getting around. I don't even know why this was a debate back in the day, but Obamacare is socialism. We did an episode on that. God's policy is that you work for money, but I noticed that it says you need to have some extra to share with those in need. I mean, you got to take care of your family, but you also got to take care of others.
Yeah. And like the example with the woman who had, I think she just had the one coin. Like, I'm not saying this has anything to do with socialism or anything, but I'm saying, like, obviously you should be able to still give what you can, even when you are in a country that taxes you a ton. There's usually something you can still give. But in a perfect world, we would still prefer lower taxes so we can give more of our money. Yeah. Like, we want to help people. As Christians, we want to be able to help those in need.
I mean, it is a joy to help those and not expect anything in return, but it's great to know that we help people. Because some people, especially in our brotherhood, actually need help. They can't work for their own health insurance. There are people who can't afford it, and they can't do anything about it. As a church, we need to be stepping in and taking care of those people. But we don't want those people stealing from others, because stealing is a sin. God says thieves are not going to heaven. All right, so another example, I just got to throw this in there, is student loan forgiveness.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say the government going up to you and being like, okay, you have the student loan, I forgive you. Then turning to me and say, pay for his student loan. I mean, that's, again, okay. It's stealing.
Not going to lie, though, this would have really helped me out.
Oh, yeah, but, I know that. However,
If the court didn't strike it down, I would have been helped out a ton.
I know, but I'm glad the court.
And then everybody else would have been jealous.
A Christian should freely take care of each other's health problems, but debt, anyone who's in debt, you got into that yourself, and you should pay that off.
True. Yeah. I mean, it's an agreement between you and the person you got the loan from. It's a promise.
The student loan forgiveness thing would not fly in the Old Testament. If you got into debt and you couldn't pay it, you had to work as a slave for 7 years. That was God's policy for debt.
Yeah.
And it's still a good policy, I think. Not that you should be kidnapped or beaten like the slaves in the American South did. But
you should work it off.
You should work it off.
2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. That was verse 10 and 11.
Okay, so 2 Thessalonians 3, great anti-socialist passage. No one owes you anything, okay? You are not entitled to anything. God expects you to get up and go to work. Christianity is all about work. You know, when Jesus said, deny yourself, how do you do that without work? Work is denying of self, and spreading of the gospel is hard work. Now, there are those who cannot work. There are principles in 1 Timothy 5 where it talks about honoring widows who are truly widows. You know, these widows, putting them at age 60, can't take care of themselves. You know, the principle is those who cannot take care of themselves, the church steps in and takes care of them. But if you can take care of yourself, you need to. One of the problems with Obamacare was that a lot of people said, yay, people can pay for my health insurance and I don't have to do anything. Now, the Democratic Party would never say that. They always talked about the unfortunate ones, the ones who couldn't work. I've never heard a single Democrat, politician, anyone say, this is so lazy people can have their health insurance. But no, they've always talked about those who couldn't. But you can imagine people hearing that thinking, I can get free health care without having to work for it.
Well, we already, like, I already know people and met people who already do that not using Obamacare. I'm sure there are or was people who are doing that, but with just regular welfare, like food stamps, Section 8, things like that. I've met people and still know people who do exactly that. They yeah. don't work because they don't want to.
Exactly. And it's a lot more people that do that than you think. So Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, all this stuff, it really is enabling people to sin by stealing and not going to work for their own. And it's enabling the church to not be able to afford to take care of orphans and widows. Okay? So it's not a good biblical concept. Yes, the church has to be compassionate, but Obamacare, all this stuff, it's a trick. And it really is a trick for the government to make more money off of you. That's what it is. All right, another big item on the Democratic platform is, we're not going to spend too much time talking about this, but climate change. A phrase they like to use is environmental justice. God defines justice for us. Read Deuteronomy 19:18-21.
The judges shall investigate thoroughly, and if the witness is a false witness and he has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him just as he had intended to do to his brother. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. The rest will hear and be afraid, and will never again do such an evil thing among you. Thus you shall not show pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot.
All right, this is justice, okay? Thankfully, God decided to throw justice on himself by dying on the cross for our sins, but that's what justice is, right? God defines justice. Easy to understand, right? You throw the word environmental in front of it, that doesn't make any sense.
Environmental justice.
Yeah. It's a nonsense phrase. Okay, so I just wanted to throw that out there. Make sure the phrases you're saying make sense. A lot of people are adding adjectives to nouns. All of a sudden, there's no meaning anymore, like toxic masculinity. It didn't mean whatever you want it to mean. Environmental justice, social justice, it doesn't mean anything. The bottom line, Christians shouldn't have no business being afraid of climate change. Read what 2 Peter 3:10-13 says.
But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in the holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will be melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. You know, I gotta say, this proves global warming is true. Because it says, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt. Global warming is a lot worse than I thought.
And humans are causing it because they're sinning. And, you know, it's going to be heat that lasts forever unless you're in Christ. So that instead of worrying about saving the planet, we should be worried about saving souls and helping the kingdom of Christ grow. Now, the thing I got to say about climate change, people say that climate change denial is similar to believing in Bigfoot and aliens. Like, it's so obvious. It's so obviously real that humans burning fossil fuels and all that stuff is causing the world to heat up, and we're all going to die within next 30, 12, 10 years. I don't know. Okay, denying climate change cannot be the same thing as believing in Bigfoot or believing in aliens. Well, because
okay, it is a fact that the climate is changing.
I mean, it changes every day. I mean,
yeah. Well, but but there is lots of evidence to show, like, we're coming out of the ice age.
Yeah.
So, I mean, climate does change. But
I do agree with that.
The debate is what is causing the change. That's where the debate really
and
is.
And where how it's going to end up. And they'll tell you it's not a debate. But global warming, climate change, all that stuff has had a long track history of a boy crying wolf. The glaciers at Glacier National Park, I believe it's Glacier National Park, were supposed to be all gone by 2020. I think it's there where they had to take the signs down that said glaciers will be... Statue of Liberty should be underwater by now. Things like Al Gore, it's just been... In 10 years from now, this and it's stuff hasn't happened. It's just been false prediction over and over again, and they keep pushing the dates back because of a miscalculation. That's why people are denying climate change. It's because we keep getting lied to over and over again.
It's obvious. It's just like the the famous preachers who are saying, God is going to come back on this day, so sell all your stuff, and then nothing happens.
And all the
people
storms,
make fun of them.
Wildfires, also. It's,
and for good reason. They kind of deserve to be made fun of. But
hurricane stuff, it's been happening
but
forever.
Yeah, it's,
so.
Yeah, so they definitely don't deserve to be in that group because it is under debate, and there are serious scientists who are like, I'm not so sure if the humans are causing so
and
much of the
who is funding,
as you say,
these scientists? The big government?
So I don't know. it's up in the air. I don't. I could go either way. But I do say that we should take care of the Earth, and that's good, something to be proud of. But we should not be afraid of climate change in the way that they're making it out be. It's not a threat to human existence because God is gonna destroy the Earth. We don't need to worry about climate
Christian,
change destroying it.
Christians have no business throwing trash out the window. Christians, more than anyone, should be taking care of at least your stuff, what you can. But as far as taxes and all that crazy stuff that the government does, all that stuff is they're just trying to gain more control. The government needs the people to be afraid of something in order to take their freedom from them. That's just how it goes. Okay, what about... Well, one of their big platforms is civil rights, social justice, another nonsense word. Doesn't mean anything. Right, but is there something to this? They talk about how Republicans are racist, right? And Democrats are all about freedom for minority groups. Democrats really believe in democracy, you know, majority rules. That's not what the Founding Fathers had in mind for this country. They knew that democracy was always a prelude to tyranny, mob rule. When they set up the Republic, they set it up to protect the rights of everyone, especially those who were in minority groups or who were minorities, so that the majority would not oppress them. So if the Democrats are all preaching about minorities, why are they so emphatic about a majority rule?
That would be a good question.
I don't know. Interesting. Anyways, read. Do you have a 2 Corinthians 5:16?
Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer.
All right. So as a church, there should be no majority, minority, anything like that. We're not regarding anyone according to the flesh. We, especially in the church, we see them as Christ would see them, as a brother or a sister in Christ.
We don't see them that according to the flesh anymore. And again, what you mentioned at the beginning, we were together because we share in the faith, not because we have the same skin color. Another social justice thing that the Democrats have pushed, actually, I got two of them here that are similar, that go against a Christian worldview. Hear out my case before you make fun of me. I'm guessing most of the people who listen to this are conservatives anyway, so I don't know. But you might have heard about affirmative action for school, which the definition that I got from Google is the practice or policy of favoring individuals belonging to groups regarded as disadvantaged or subject to discrimination, and also DEI for the workplace, which stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion, which sounds nice at first. And maybe you agree with what these programs are trying to accomplish, which is, when you hear them, hear their goals, sometimes you can be like, oh, that's fine, that's nice. But when you see how it is put in practice, they are literally the very evil that they claim they want to destroy.
Yep.
So let's first look at this word equity. It's easy for us to accept because it sounds a lot like the word equality, which is something that pretty much everybody will support. But it means something very, very different because you cannot have equity in the workplace without getting rid of equality, because every human that has ever existed has different levels of experience, talent, motivations, etc. People are going to end up doing better or worse at any job, any given job. So if there's equality in the workplace, the hard workers are rewarded with raises and eventually maybe even promotions. The lazy people will be fired or stuck where they are. But if there's equity in the workplace, that means you must hold back the rewards for the hard workers and reward laziness.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite of equality, pretty much. There are other parts of DEI. I was trying to look up examples of it before this podcast. But one thing I noticed is pretty much every company is going to use it differently. And so I don't want to mandate this is what DEI always is, because they're going to use it differently. The company I work for uses it, so hopefully they don't fire me. But no, but I haven't seen it put into practice, so I'm not going to roast them or anything. I think it's just a stamp that they put out so that they don't get in trouble by liberals.
A lot of people do that because
so they'll just say DEI, we DEI this. But the word equity is very, if you practice equity, it's very disturbing. Anyways, this next one, affirmative action, this is happening right now and has been happening for a long time. This is very, very evil. So let's look at an example of how it works if you haven't heard of this before. Asian Americans have been overrepresented based on the population percentage in college compared to African Americans, who have been underrepresented based on population. So in order for there to be equity among the racial groups in a school, they would accept an African American student who isn't as qualified as an Asian American student. Do you see what's happening here? It's evil. Do not be gaslighted by the anti-racism talk. They're literally,
it's racist.
Yes, they are not looking at people as an individual soul who has their own abilities and talents and knowledge and motivations. They're looking at people based on their race and treating them differently based on their race and their race alone. So this is literally the very evil that they claim they're trying to destroy. And nobody should stand up for that. I can't even believe it's real, but it's very evil stuff.
I know Jay Wilson likes to say, those who are evil and power positions like to accuse others of being what they are.
yeah. I mean, it's true. It is true a lot of the time.
All right, so a lot of that stuff that they're preaching about, as a church, we're all about equality. Okay, when I say equality, I'm talking about equal in God's eyes. People are not equal. People are different, and that's good. People are equal in God's eyes, have equal value, but it's good that people are different too. People have different skills. People have different abilities. Men and women are obviously very different. We should be happy about each other's differences and contributions to the kingdom of God. Speaking of women, what about equal pay for women? Women should be paid the same as men. Come on, guys, it's 2024. Read Titus 2:3-5.
Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored.
All right, so I want to make it clear that it's not a abomination sin for a woman to have a job where she makes money. The woman in Proverbs 31 went out and made money, but she was still a homemaker. So God's design for women is not to go out and compete with men in the workforce and climb the corporate ladder and go and rule the world. Okay, and if that offends you, sorry. That's just the way it is. But if a woman decides to get a job, she needs to understand this biblical principle. And right then I reference a parable here, the parable in Matthew 20 of the laborers in the vineyard. For the sake of time, just read verses 13-16.
But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give you this last man, give to this last man the same as to you. It is not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own."
Okay,
I said that wrong. Start of verse 15 again. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first and the first last."
Okay, so obviously this parable is not talking about what I'm trying to talk about. Like, there's a spiritual, deeper spiritual meaning that we're not going to go into, but the principle is still there. It's God's principle that when you go to work, you negotiate wages with your employer and you agree, you come to an agreement. So he says, I'll pay you this much. That's God's plan for employment, that you negotiate it, you figure it out. It's not God's plan for government to say, to come to employers and say, you have to pay this person just as much as this person. Now, if people are discriminating for some reason, that could happen, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think if two people are doing the same job, working the same hours, obviously, I think, well, they should be paid the exact same. But yeah, like you said, when you go to work, it's an agreement between the person hiring and the person who's going to do the work. So it shouldn't be the government's job to decide for them what they're going to be paid.
Yeah.
But that being said, I mean, there's a lot of debate on whether it's even true or not that women get paid less. I don't think we should even get into that debate.
I think a lot of women are working jobs that are not as skill demanding, and they're getting paid less, and they're like, women are getting...
I mean, I heard that too. I've heard that women usually work less overtime and things like that as well. So there's a debate there, but the answer to that debate doesn't even really matter. I mean, if you don't like what you're getting paid and you don't like what you do, find another job.
This is America. You can go find another job here. However, I was just reading in Jeremiah the other day. I wrote down this verse, but it was talking about how God's going to judge those who don't pay fairly or don't pay people for their work.
Yeah.
You know, so employers are expected by God to pay fair wages to their employers. I mean, that's what money is supposed to be. Money is a measurement of work.
Yeah.
That's what money is.
That would apply to Christians who do hire people.
But the government has no business coming in and forcing, because what happens here is that people who don't deserve to get much are being forced. They're forcing employers, which is against stealing or taking someone's money that is theirs and giving it to someone without your permission.
I mean, this goes to minimum wage and stuff too, but you know who gets the cost, who has to pay the cost when employers are forced to pay more? The customer. And guess who the customer is? He's a lot more people than the one person who's being hired.
And well, the employer has to pay more too.
Well, yeah. I mean, when the employer has to pay the employee more, employees are the largest cost for most businesses already. So when they have to pay the employees more, they have to up the price of the products.
Or fire some of their...
Or lay people off.
I don't understand. Can't people see the correlation between raising the minimum wage and inflation?
Yeah, it's...
how do people not see it?
That's why when you look at California, they're like, oh, well, they already have a very high minimum wage. People who get paid like $90,000 a year in California cannot even afford an apartment in the city. Inflation is much more extreme there partly because of the minimum wage that they have raised.
Okay. People our age, you know, millennials, Gen Z, we don't know because we've only been alive. Most of our entire life, minimum wage was $7.25. But our parents, our grandparents, they could tell you of a time when minimum wage was smaller and the prices for everything was smaller. They can tell you how as minimum wage went up, everything else went up. I mean, there's a correlation between... I don't think minimum wage is biblical. I don't think the government has any business saying, this is the least amount you can pay. That's not fair. The government should not be telling people, this is the minimum amount you should pay. Because if I'm an employer, it's my money. God has given you a money. You do with it what you need to do. And when the government comes in and says, you have to do this.
It's funny, we're picking on Democrats, Republicans support minimum wage as well. So
today are just
I mean they're Republicans. Like if you look at Donald Trump, like a lot of the, not what he says, but like his policies, I've heard that they're pretty much identical to what Bill Clinton's policies were in the like the 90s. So Republicans are almost like Democrats just like a few decades ago.
They're playing the same game, Republican, Democrat. Anyways. Yeah. All right, now for the big ones that everybody knew would come when they saw the title of this episode, right? When people think about, can Democrats be Christians? When Christians think of Democrats, I mean, what do they think of? Abortion and LGBT rights.
Yes. And, you know, I bet we did make a lot of people mad because a lot of these things that we've talked about are not in the Bible. So it's like...
it's like they are, but they aren't.
Yeah, like taxes, for example. I mean, I can argue with a fellow brother in Christ about taxes. And he's not going to go to hell for voting for higher taxes because he wants the schools to be upgraded or something. Like, obviously,
oh dear,
we could disagree on stuff about... I mean, that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things.
Okay,
but
I think what you're trying to say is some of these things are not... Like, they're secondary issues. Like,
yeah, they're not... Yeah. They're secondary issues, yeah.
These are not.
But when it comes to...
Abortion, LGBT stuff.
Abortion and LGBT stuff and transgender stuff, this is stuff
issues.
That have been explicitly talked about in the Bible that are evil and sinful, so...
Do you have Jeremiah 22:3 answering the question, can a Christian support... Can a Christian support... can a Christian support abortion rights?
Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness and deliver the one who has been robbed from the power of his oppressor. Also do not mistreat or do violence to the stranger, the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place.
Okay. Shedding innocent blood. God was bringing the Babylonians to utterly destroy Judah for shedding innocent blood. I remember a king getting his eyes plucked out after watching his... children get slaughtered. This is a severe punishment for the kind of things that they were doing. And these days, many would sacrifice their own children to idols. That's exactly what abortion is. It's idol worship. It's human sacrifice. It's demonic. Yeah. There is no such thing as abortion rights, by the way. That's nobody has the right to sin.
Rights is funny to talk to people who don't believe in God about. Like, where do you get your rights from? I get it from the government, or they'll talk about what people generally decide. Then you have to say, well, what if people decide or the government decides that abortion is evil? Then they're still going to be like, well, the people are wrong. Well, how do you know they're wrong? I don't know.
Yeah,
It's just an endless circle there.
So about, you know, getting everything from the government again. I should have. We don't have time for this. Maybe we should do an episode on Revelation. But the beast, right? Mark of the beast.
Yeah, we should do a Revelation.
Romans 13. I like 99.100% sure that that's talking about the government. And when it talks about people bowing down, I mean, the government is talked about in the Bible as something that is worshipped. People worship the government because if you worship the government, then they allow you to buy and sell, right? Well, only those who have the mark of the beast can... It's not a physical mark. It's a spiritual thing. But those can buy or sell. Well, but then what if you're a Christian proclaiming the truth? They're not going to allow you to buy or sell. You're not worshiping the government. You're not falling down and bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. So that's another bad thing about big government. Anyways, back to abortion. Read what Jeremiah 7:31 says.
They have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, and it did not come into my mind.
It didn't even come into God's mind. They are burning their children to Molech or Baal,
yeah,
whichever idol it is. And God takes this very seriously. It is something that he hates, something that makes him angry. Yep. So angry that Babylon came in and blew up Judah.
Better off with a millstone thrown around your neck and cast into the sea. I mean, Jesus takes it seriously when you mess with babies and kids,
yeah.
So don't do it. I wrote this down because I saw on Democrats.org, which is like, I'm pretty sure that's the Democrat Party's website, says, like the majority of Americans, Democrats believe every woman should be able to access high-quality reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortion. We oppose and will fight to overturn federal and state laws that create barriers to women's reproductive health and rights, including by repealing the Hyde Amendment and protecting and codifying the right to reproductive freedom. So, yes, you can't say that Democrats don't support this. This is something that they have, ever since Roe v. Wade has been overturned, this is what the Democrats talk about. This is what they use to get votes.
And when you vote for a Democrat, you are participating in and enabling the slaughtering of innocent children to happen. It's just the way it is. You're allowing it to happen.
This is one of their, like, this is a top of their ticket, basically, when they're trying to get votes. This is what they talk about.
That's all it is. It's just trying to get votes. They don't actually care about these women. Now, a lot of these women who have had abortions, you got to understand that you're being deceived, that they don't actually care about you or your health.
I mean, they say they want all women to have access to safe and legal abortion.
It's not safe.
Somebody's dying.
You could die too.
Guaranteed death. How is that safe? Of course they want it to be legal. So
What we want to make clear is that yes, if you have had an abortion, your conscience is probably bothering you. Now some women are just not. They have completely seared consciences and say, I'll kill a 2-year-old if it means I can fulfill my dreams. But if you're someone who's had an abortion, you know, there is hope for you. Like, you can come to Christ. God will forgive. You can have a transformed life. But you can't go on continuing down this path. We do have an episode about
abortion too.
There's LGBTQ, XYZ issues.
Let's talk about that.
Read Romans 1, 26 through 32.
For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for the women exchanged the natural function for that which is natural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing innocent acts and receiving in their own persons the...
I said
innocent acts.
Oops. I was about to say innocent.
I was a little bit confused too. I was like, this is not how I remember this verse. But men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper.
Again, you cannot be a Christian and support these things. I believe it was 2015 when they took away rights from the states. They said gay marriages, or forbidding gay marriage, is unconstitutional in every state.
But that's fairly recent. But yeah, this is something that is...
You think God was so happy about that?
So anti-Christian.
God blew up Sodom and Gomorrah because of this.
Yes, marriage is something that was God established in the first part of the Bible and talks about it throughout the entire thing. Like, this is such a slap in the face to Christianity. I don't know how any Christian would be supporting this. You can't call yourself a follower of Christ and destroy something like this that God instituted. And it's not destroyed, obviously, because whatever the government says, marriage is always going to exist the way God wanted it.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, this is just putting poison into the concept of marriage.
To wrap this all up, don't buy into the big government thing. I mean, Romans 13, people bow down and worship this. People are worshiping the government, and they offer sacrifices to the government, not like animal sacrifices, but they sacrifice to the government so that the government can hold their hands and take care of them. Well, what is the government trying to do right now? Surround the camp of the saints and basically make Christianity illegal. And this is what the Democrat, there is no denying this. This is what the Democrats are doing. I mean, this is their goal, to eliminate Christianity, promote every other religion except for Christianity, and be the government of Romans 13. Now, that's not a good thing. That's not a party I want to be a part of. It's not something that I think any Christian should be a part of. I know when you read the Democratic platform, it sounds so compassionate and lovey-dovey, but it's deception. The big government's goal is to enslave you to their will and take away religious liberty, and that's exactly what's going on right now. So, my opinion, there's no real reason for a Christian to be a Democrat, unless you're a young Christian, you were just baptized, and you still have a lot to learn. But you've got to keep reading and studying your scriptures. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, it's tough. Like, when I first started thinking about what I would write down to prepare for this episode, I was thinking, man, I don't know if we should do this, because there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, I think does matter, but it's like, I don't want to make people angry or burn relationships over stuff that doesn't matter. I mean, when it comes to abortion and LGBTQ stuff, it's so morally clear in the Bible.
Yeah.
I don't have to feel bad about that. But
some of this other stuff,
it's all secondary issues. I mean, we're just having a discussion here.
Before we end, I want to go through 2 Timothy 2:23-26.
But refuse foolish and ignorant speculation, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will.
Okay, so keep this in mind when you're discussing politics with a brother or a sister in Christ. Don't go in trying to be quarrelsome. Some of, you know, political posts on Facebook are completely ridiculous and anti-productive, yeah. And they don't do anything. They're completely counterproductive.
Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure that what you're talking about is important. Some things you can just leave to someone to figure out for themselves as they grow in faith. But a lot of these issues are important issues. You cannot separate Christianity from politics. I mean, there's a lot more to politics that aligns with scripture than most people think. Political beliefs, most of them are moral beliefs or have something to do with morality in some way, especially when you're dealing with money, but also not even that, like
I wouldn't say abortion especially.
But well, a lot of it has to do with money, and money is something that God gave us to handle well and to be good stewards of. Anyways, keep that in mind, to be gentle and patient. Don't go in and try and start fights just for the sake of starting fights.
It's not worth it. Perfect segue into next episode.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about doctrine in the church versus unity in the church. Correct doctrine.
You can't have both?
Unity. Yeah. Can you have both? Or if you have to choose one or the other, what should you choose? I don't know. Should be interesting.
Should be interesting.
So we'll talk about that next time. Until then, we'll see you guys.
See you guys.